From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. In today's crucial content, the four big teams that have just been handed a blank, the Premier players worth breaking your bank, and the ones who maybe should walk the plank. All in all, loads to improve your rank as we count down to Game Week 25. Hello, manager. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got some FPL for you this weekend. Woohoo! And here to break it down for you, we've got some top FPL experts. Duncan Alexander's here.
Hi, James.
Hi, Duncan. From Opta Sports, that's right. Co-founder of Opta Joe, in fact. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts, breaking out some stats, bringing a little science to the FPL
certainly,
business.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Mm. Also here from the FPL family, Sam Bonfield. Woo! Sam.
Hi, James.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great, great. I'm doing fine. Julien Laurens.
Hello.
Journalist and formerly runaway leader of our league.
Woo!
I say formerly, Jules, because now it's only 5 points.
Who is first, who is second?
All right, how many points were you ahead of Sam, say, a month ago, Sam? What was the margin then?
About 50. 55?
Right.
Yes, but there was a time where I was just 5 points, yeah, and then I made, you know, so.
But I'm coming for you.
I know you are.
You're sounding a lot, Jules, like Kevin Keegan saying, Sam's got to go to Game Week 25 and get a result.
No, but I was really hoping that yesterday, Firmino,
yeah,
who is in Sam's team,
right,
wouldn't do well at West Ham, and same for Mo Salah, who was in a lot of the players' teams, to be fair.
You just worry about your own players, Jules.
Well, no, because Sadio Mane was not playing.
Yeah.
That triple captain on him cost me badly.
So. Why'd you do that?
I was jinxing Salah and Firmino as much as I could last night.
All right. Well, the double game week was a tough time for anyone who triple captained Mane. Mm. Duncan, you didn't triple captain anyone.
I didn't. No, it was a deliberate choice because I...
You forgot.
No, I did not forget.
You forgot.
I mean, come on. I figured because everyone had gone triple captain mad with this Liverpool double game week that it was a bit of a gamble, but if one of their players didn't come up trumps, then it would give you an advantage later in the season when there's going to be some more double game weeks.
That's right, there will. And we know because there's four teams that are going to blank in three, 4 weeks' time, game week 28... And they'll all be having double game weeks later.
Yeah, so that's when I will be ploughing in with a triple captain and I will be messaging Jules to say, are you going to use yours this weekend? Oh, no, you can't.
Well, that news, this is all provoked by the League Cup semi-final results. Four teams will be having a blank in game week 28. We'll discuss that, the ramifications of that, later on. Also saw, Sam, that some are suggesting that this is actually a good time to be thinking about bringing out a wild card. This, I think, largely provoked by the closing of the transfer window this Friday night, just ahead of the deadline for the new round of FPL games. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's kind of nice, isn't it? Because you're going to know exactly what players are available to you for the rest of the season in terms of who's coming in. There's no kind of gambles on somebody's place being lost to a new signing that comes in. So from that point of view, it's quite a nice time to play a wild card. I think if it was me, though, I'd just wait a week longer.
Right.
With that winter break, double kind of spread out over those 2 weeks, that feels like a really nice wild card time. Lots of tinkering.
Also, you probably want a game or two to actually have a look at some of these new signings. Is there anyone yet who's come in who you think you're kind of earmarking for inclusion, Jules?
I'm quite excited by Daniel Podence, the Portuguese winger that Wolves just signed from Olympiacos. You and I saw him a lot on the BT Sport Goal Show during the group stages, and he was very good against Spurs, for example. He's small but with a lot of energy, very skillful player, which I think will fit perfectly to what Nuno and Wolves are doing this season. So you can imagine Traoré on one side, Podence on the other side, and Jimenez as a centre forward, plus Diego Jota, who can come in as well as a sort of super sub if you want. I think Podence could look very good in that team.
Interesting. Anyone else catch your eye, Duncan?
Well, the big transfer hasn't quite gone through yet, but should do, is Bruno Fernandes. Going into Manchester United. He got 20 goals last season and 13 assists in the Portuguese league, which is pretty good. He's already got 7 assists and 8 goals this season. Interestingly, he always scores more away from home, so that could be quite a good option. You know, United have struggled a little bit on the road this season. So, yeah, he's not going to be cheap, but I think he could be a decent option.
And Steven Bergwijn from PSV joining Spurs?
Yes, it's an interesting one as well. It's a lot of wide players for Spurs.
Right.
And you wonder who Mourinho will pick.
There's a glut of them now.
Okay. Wait and see. That's the message from shot-topping Julien Laurent.
And Sander Berge as well at Sheffield United. Because for everyone who owns John Lundstrom.
Right.
Lord.
Yeah, Lord Lundstrom. There potentially could be Sander Berge coming in and take his position in that team.
So that
would be quite logical.
That transfer is confirmed now?
Not yet, but it should be confirmed before Friday night deadline.
And if it goes through, you think A, it'll be a really good signing for Sheffield United.
Very good
B, signing. It'll probably not be a great signing for John Lundstrom because he'll lose his regular place in the side.
You could think that if Chris Wilder, if there's a player that Sander Berge comes in for in that starting 11, and I'm not saying that Sander Berge is going to come in straight away and start every single game and all of that, because the team is pretty good right now as it is, but Sander Berge, you would think, could take Lundstrom's place.
He's going to Berge Lundstrom out of the side.
Well, I was going to say, don't make sure you don't miss the Berge.
Nice, that's also good. not quite sure what's going on. Well, let's move on to game week 25's fixtures. By the way, if you want to join our league challenge, the likes of Jules and Sam. Jules just inside the top 3,000 managers in the world. Sam just outside, only 5 points, remember, between the top 3,000 managers in the world. But you can join our league with the following code, 6QP8QK. Game week 25. How exciting is this? Nice to have a proper weekend of fancy Premier League action. And pick a fixture out for us, Duncan, that you think you're going to make some major points from.
Well, Liverpool-Southampton is the one that leaps out. Obviously, Mane should still be out for Liverpool. I do have Mane, but I'm not going to sell him.
You're going to hang on?
Yeah.
So Jurgen Klopp is saying...
I said, are you going to hang on to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he should be back in a couple of weeks, I think.
So he's going to miss this game, and then I think he's back available for the Norwich match. But Sam, you're pointing out that...
Yeah, I mean, they play Atletico 3 days later in the Champions League. I just can't see Klopp risking him against Norwich. And if there's a couple of games that you would want Mane to play if you owned him, it's Southampton and Norwich. So for me, I'd sell him.
And bring in Salah if you don't already have Salah?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you have Salah,
Duncan? I do have Salah, yeah. So I'm happy. You know, give him rest on the bench. He's earned it for me. But yeah, anyway, Salah has got a particularly good record against Southampton. Obviously, people remember that goal he scored, breakaway goal away at Southampton last spring.
Right.
And I think if there's one thing Southampton have been good at this season is kind of defending and frustrating bigger teams. You saw them do that to Spurs at New Year. They could very well go to Anfield and do this, and in which case I think the two fullbacks are going to be key in this game. So if you've got Trent or you've got Robertson, I'd possibly think about getting them both in. I mean, I've got Alexander-Arnold. I'm losing patience with Ben Chilwell for various reasons. So, yeah, I mean, I could... you might have convinced me. Maybe sell Mane and get Robertson in. But that'll be a bit of fiddling around.
Sorry to hear that, Duncan. Liverpool do have a terrific record against Southampton. They've won the last five against Saints in the Premier League, scoring 13, only conceding 2 in this run. Alisson in spectacular form midweek as Liverpool wrapped up their double game week with that 2-0 win at the London Stadium. Nice. Leicester City are taking on Chelsea. Loads of FPL managers will have assets in play in that fixture, I'd imagine, Sam. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one for us as FPL managers this time because, you know, Duncan's already mentioned that he owns Chilwell. Most players seem to play with one of the Leicester defenders, whether it's Chilwell or Pereira or Soyuncu. And the same with Chelsea. There's a higher percentage of, you know, managers that are owning the likes of Tammy Abraham. I suppose we could throw Willian in there. Pulisic will be back soon. So both very well-owned teams, but neither side keeping very many clean sheets. So Leicester have now conceded in every game bar one in the last 9 weeks. And Chelsea have only kept one clean sheet since game week 18. So both sides looking leaky at best.
Okay.
And therefore, I would expect there to be goals in these games.
Would you expect there to be Jamie Vardy scoring any of those goals?
Well, his form of late hasn't suggested that there will be. I mean, he is back. He came on in the League Cup this week. So we do know that he is available for the weekend, and we would therefore expect him to play. But he hasn't scored in 2020 yet. He's got an assist and a missed penalty to his name so far this calendar year.
Right.
But this is Jamie Vardy, and we shouldn't kind of blinker ourselves and forget how good he was earlier on in the season. That will come back, surely.
Jules, is it time for Jamie Vardy to have a deep party?
I'm afraid so.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm certainly letting him go and bringing Aguero in.
Well, that's fair.
That's fair, I think. I think Aguero has scored 6 goals, obviously, in his last 3 league matches. I think he's on fire. I think Pep will play him. I don't think there'll be much rotation. Maybe before Champions League matches against Real Madrid, you might think. But and there's obviously that blank weekend for them when it's the League Cup final. But I think Aguero right now is a no-brainer.
And you're confident that he will be making the side?
The sides.
Yeah, that he will be, that Pep will include him.
Certainly, well, I mean, certainly on Sunday at Spurs, and City have an excellent record against Spurs, home and away.
Well, they drew 2-2 last time.
Yes, but they also won 3-1 2 seasons ago and won 1-0 that season away at Spurs. So and that 2-2 game, they could have played it again and probably won 10-1. It was so one-sided, but
they do that a lot, though, against Man United midweek. They could have won that.
True.
By many goals.
But I think, it's true. And I think the lack of efficiency is something that would worry Pep.
Hmm.
I still think Aguero will score you goals.
Okay, and you're banking 12 million on that.
Yeah.
Interesting. That Spurs Man City game. You are, it has to be said, the man who flagged up Ings before much anybody.
Thank you.
The man who was in early, an early adopter of Adama Traore as well.
Yeah, to Duncan's, what's the word? Dislike.
Chagrin.
He texted me saying I'm livid because Traore made an assist in one of the games.
And now you're suggesting that the equally niche figure of Sergio Aguero might be.
But that's not, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already owned and I think a lot of people have bought him since last weekend, a lot already. So
the only thing to say about Aguero is that if he scores this weekend, it'll be 5 Premier League games in a row that he scored in, which will be the 8th time in his career he's done that in the Premier League, which is way more. Alan Shearer's next on 5 times doing that, which is obviously a sign of an amazing striker, but he is quite a streaky player. Now, are we coming in too late to his streak? And is he about to get one of those kind of niggly 2-week injuries that then sees him slow down a bit?
I will.
Jules feels confident that he won't.
I might be trying to mess with Jules' head.
You always do. Last time, he always took me out of things.
Trust your feelings, Jules. Burnley are taking on Arsenal, who have an absolutely amazing record against Burnley. The Clarets have actually lost their last 11 meetings with Arsenal in all competitions. But when we talk about a good record against Burnley, not sure who's got a better one than Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who is back from suspension. And that's bad news for Sean Dyche & Co, because Aubameyang has got 7 goals in 4 Premier League appearances against the Clarets, averaging, Duncan, a goal every 51 minutes. So do you have a little Aubameyang in your side?
We did, and then I got red.
When?
A few weeks ago.
Right, with the suspension.
Yeah, and I think he was going through a bit of a bad spell as well. I mean,
I'm really tempted to bring him in.
Yeah.
You're not very enthusiastic about that.
Well, I don't want to say I'm going to do what Jules is going to do, but I'm going on the Vardy out, Aguero in bandwagon, to be honest.
Wow, so shameless.
Well, no, I mean, in many ways he's emulating me, but in other more accurate ways he's not. Aubameyang, all right, he's got a good record against Burnley, but Arsenal are pretty hit and miss at the moment.
He's not, though.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Sam?
Okay, then. Got a blank coming up as well, which puts me off. I actually do really like Martinelli, though. I think it's a cheaper option into Arsenal.
Sam, you're not the only one. We'll hear a little bit more about what makes Martinelli an enticing pick later on. A reminder that you can check out all the latest team news right up to the deadline on the Premier League's team news page, appropriately enough. After this, speaking of teams getting a blank, we're going to be taking the long view. Yep, casting our eye a little bit further down the FPL schedule, and big news this week, Sam Bonfield, is that courtesy of the 2 League Cup finalists, Man City and Aston Villa, 4 sides are going to be having a blank, no fixture in game week 28. Now, just to kind of clear up any confusion here, this weekend, game week 25, that's normal, all 20 teams in action. Mm-hmm. Game week 26 is then split across 2 weekends.
Yep.
And then you've got game week 27. After that, what happens?
Then we have the blank game week. So the first of our blanks. I think we all expected it to be Leicester that missed out. So when we lost Sheffield United and Aston Villa, that was a bit of a shock to most of us. We were talking about getting on double Sheffield defence for their nice run of fixtures. They're now blank in 28. And then Manchester City and Arsenal, that game will also be rearranged. They'll miss out too.
Okay. Wow. So how much is that impacting your thinking?
I think it's massive because the last thing you want to do is bring in a lot of players that you're then going to have an issue with in game week 28. I already own two Sheffield United defenders in Lindstrom and Dean Henderson in goal. So that's an issue. Now, for me, the two of them plus KDB means I've only got one spare on my bench if anyone else gets dropped or benched that week. So, yeah, it puts me off bringing in any more Manchester City players, Arsenal players,
Aston Villa, or
Sheffield United players.
Yeah, which, to be fair, there's bright prospects at all those. Jack Grealish is somebody I've been looking at bringing in. Would you think that it's not a good idea, or would you think it's fine just to rest them for one weekend?
Well, I guess you've got the option of using your wild card before that happens then, if you want to bring them in now. I mean, I got giddy last week and brought in Dean Henderson, thinking, that'll be fine. And then, lo and behold, Villa get through to the...
Who's your other keeper?
It is Button.
That's not going to work.
Not seen Brighton, man. Bright as a button. But, yeah, so I can't really... it is a bit of a... kick in the...
Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what Sam is saying. There will also be a game with the double week game.
Right.
Double game week for all those teams at some point. So we don't know yet when.
You win some, you lose some.
If you have a strong bench, then, for example, you could leave... But I agree with Sam, you can't have too many of players of those teams who will not play that weekend because you can quite easily get
them in after they blank time for their double.
Yeah.
Okay, when will we know when the doubles are taking place?
They're normally a few weeks later, so it's normally sort of around 30, 31, 32, something like that they get rescheduled for. But we'll have to wait for the Premier League to announce them.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Up next, this week's Wednesday tweet, which was, which premium option are you going for and who are you most afraid of not owning? Yeah, my FPL season's been haunted. Haunted by people like Jack Grealish, Sergio Aguero, Mo Salah. Really, watching the game against West Ham was terrifying as a non-Salah owner. And that's very much, that's one half of the question we were asking on social media this week. Who are you afraid of not having in your team? Sam, what would your answer to that be?
Well, you've already mentioned Jack Grealish, and I think he's right up there for me. I've been very much in the, we don't need Aston Villa players, their form's not been very good, that camp for a very long time. But actually, Grealish is the heartbeat of that team, and he's kind of bucking the trend and seems to get some returns every week. And it's getting to a point where I kind of think, oh, every time he does something, it annoys me because he's so well owned now.
Yeah.
And they've got a nice fixture, right? It's away from home, but they're at Bournemouth, who have been poor defensively. I know they had a good result last week, but it was kind of surprising given how their form has been. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Jack Grealish get some more points this week and therefore, again, irritate me by scoring some goals.
Sorry to hear that. Villa are away at Bournemouth, then home to Spurs, then away at Southampton before that blank in game week 28. Let's have a look at one or two responses on Twitter. His Yam says, already have enough premium, thanks. And two, Grealish, player they're most afraid of. Mervin says, waiting for Bruno Fernandes' price before making a decision. Is Bruno Fernandes straight in the premium player category then? Is that...
I would say so,
really?
Both in real life and in the game. I mean, his numbers are brilliant. I mean, you know, disclaimer, is in the Portuguese league, but I think he'll come in, he's definitely going to get playing time at United, and if he hits the ground running, he's immediately going to be... It's whether you think, I'm going to gamble on him before he's even played a game, and then you are ahead of the curve, or you wait to see how he settles in.
Right.
But yeah, it's worth a shot.
Okay. Travis says, honestly, my premium is Trent Alexander-Arnold. I tell you, I'd be awfully scared if I didn't have him, Jules. Do you have him?
Yes, I do. And I almost triple captain him like you did.
Yes.
And instead almost went for Mane. I was so livid that night.
The great Jules, who do you not have in your side that you'd like to have in your side? And why don't you have him?
So Aguero was the one.
Yeah.
But Jimenez always seemed to score when I don't expect him to score. And that really annoys me. A bit like Grealish and Sam. They really... bugs me. And I love Wolves and I love Jimenez. I think he's a great guy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
But if you get him in, the spell will be broken.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like every single manager thing, the same.
You spend your whole time worrying that you haven't got the premium player. I mean, I've jumped through hoops so that I can have Mane, Salah and Kevin De Bruyne in midfield and Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, I mean, the one that I always think about getting and haven't yet, but he's in good form, but never really, you can never guarantee he's going to play, is Riyad Mahrez. You know, when he plays, he's pretty productive. Yeah, but
I agree.
He can have a brilliant game and then not play for a couple of weeks. So,
all right. The boss says, I'm going for Mo Salah. I'm scared of Aguero because of Pep rotation. All right, then. He's not a premium player yet, but one figure who seems to be making one or two managers a bit nervous is Giovanni Lo Celso. There was a frisson of controversy when we looked at the fixtures before coming in here, Sam, about whether it might be time to get him in.
Yeah, I know Duncan doesn't agree with me on this, but I really quite fancy him. I think he could be a really good option going forward. Now that the contract is permanent, now that Eriksen has got his transfer away from Spurs,
right.
I really fancy a punt on him before I think he might go big. I own Dele Alli at the minute.
Yep.
Saved me a substantial amount of my budget to move him to Lo Celso. I can see him doing really well now.
Jules, what's that you're writing down Giovanni Lo Celso on your notepad there?
So actually, I was the one in the pre-production meeting before this show that said Lo Celso.
But
I think Eric Lamela as well is an interesting one.
Well, I'd say no Celso because I think he's more of the pre-assister. He's the man, he's playing quite deep at the moment and he can play further forward, but until Mourinho unleashes him, I'd hold back.
The man who assists the assists.
Exactly, second assist, which is out there.
Zero points.
It's not in the game.
Zero points, yeah.
Which is unfair. It's a bit unfair. Yeah,
I mean, but you think last night.
Yeah.
You think with Eriksen departing that Lo Celso will move up into the premium assister role, or perhaps even more?
Yeah, and I think him and Lamela had great impact when they've came on recently.
Do you have either of them, Jules?
Not yet, but we were discussing with Sam before the show, and I think the two of them are a good shout. I've got a problem with Doucouré in midfield because one is my boy and he almost convinced me to play him in my team by text. We exchanged a few texts. He did really well the first 2 weeks I had him, 9 points and 14 points.
Uh-huh.
And then he almost blanked the last 2 weeks. So I don't know what to do with him.
Right.
If I don't keep him, then I will look into bringing maybe Lo Celso or Lamela.
Okay. I want to believe you, but I'm not sure to what extent you're trying to get into Sam's head. At the moment,
I don't listen in my head, James.
When I get 100 points this weekend,
all right,
I'll wave at him when I overtake him this week.
Next season, you mean?
No, this week.
Next season.
That's bold. Okay, very good. Up next, essential differential. Essential differential players with less than 10% ownership. And earning you the possibility, hopefully, to go rocketing up the league when you and you alone, manager, get all their fat points. Got some interesting picks for you this week. Let's start with a certain Sheffield United striker by the name of Oli McBurnie.
Yes, he's one of mine. I think I've now got three.
So You've got three essential differentials.
Yeah, yeah. So McBurnie, he has scored a few times, unlike certain other Sheffield United forwards this season. And he's just in good form. And, you know, if he's not supporting other teams, he's definitely a good forward option.
4.3 million, so he enables.
He is a massive enabler. And if I'm going to try and get Aguero in, he could be the one to do it.
What do you think, Sam and Jules, about Oli McBurnie?
That's enough for me, no.
Lee's all over Oli McBurnie this week. So he has been banging on about how good he thinks he's going to be. So, to be fair, when he goes on one of these streaks about a player, he's normally not far off being right. Yeah,
Lee the other half of the FPL family. Right,
yeah.
Then go for him, then go for him.
Yeah, well, that's the backing I needed, to be honest.
Okay. Duncan's not finished, though, are you, Duncan?
Yeah, a couple of Arsenal options. Martinelli, who's come into the team, already looks like he's been way older than 18. Really effective. Scored that brilliant goal away at Chelsea. Again, very cheap. So,
4.5 million.
Yeah, an enabler that is probably going to play quite a lot for the rest of the season. So I think he is almost, you know.
McBurnie's ownership is less than 1%, 0.6%. Martinelli a little bit higher, 2.5%, but still looks like a really attractive option. The question is, though, is he going to start? Jules, now that Aubameyang's back from suspension, with your Arsenal knowledge, what are the prospects?
So I don't think, I know he's in great form, and we disagreed before the show as well. I don't think, I think Lacazette will still start for the game at Burnley this weekend with Aubameyang on the left-hand side and probably Pepe on the right-hand side. But Martinelli then will become the first option coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
However, if like Simon Duncan, you agree that Lacazette would not start and would be dropped for that game with Aubameyang playing on his own up front, which, by the way, away from home would be completely silly from Arteta because Aubameyang can't hold the ball up. So he'd be far too isolated on his own up front at Burnley. But then if that's the case, then yeah, Martinelli would start on the left-hand side.
Tell you who's quite good at holding the ball up. Martinelli,
he's great. And he's got 8-8 in the last 2 weeks. How can you drop
but
a
like 90% of them
form?
Either in the Europa League or the League Cup, right? And then I don't think Martinelli could hold the ball up against me and Tarkowski at all. Or at least not as good as Lacazette would do. That's why I think Lacazette would start. And Martinelli, he's 18. He's an amazing option for Arteta to come off the bench in those
mm-hmm.
games.
Duncan, you mentioned a couple of Arsenal options. What was the other one?
Saka is the other one, who has been converted into a left-back by Arteta and looks like he's been playing there his whole career. Again, very cheap. And looks like he's going to have that position possibly for the rest of the season. He's got more assists in all competitions than any other Arsenal player this season.
Okay. But he's listed as a midfielder?
Yeah.
I see. And that so that helps
it's kind
him.
Of a reverse...
Lundström.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So as Lundström's star fades...
Yes.
A new dawn. The Saka dawn.
The Saka dawn. And the fact that he's a midfielder, does that mean that Arsenal having that horrific defensive record, he won't be so adversely affected by that?
Correct. But
that's
he'll
the
still
theory.
Get the assists. So.
Sam?
Mm.
Okay, then. Who's your differential?
Oh, so I'm going to go really rogue this week and go with Robert Snodgrass at West Ham, who have been on not the best of runs and haven't looked that great.
Have you seen
However,
their fixtures?
Yeah, start
I have.
Him. I think you should start him.
I have to. Yeah, I mean, I own him. I brought him in for the double game week.
Yeah,
and originally, it was the reason I did it was because if West Ham were going to get any joy at any point, uh-huh. it's going to come from a set piece. That's
and how did
it
work out for you?
Yeah, not so great so far, but it looks like it's going to come from a set piece. I felt like he was a bit unlucky. He went off in that first game of the double game week against Leicester, where he was in or there and thereabouts all the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the game against Liverpool, there was an opportunity where he could have got some points. But I just think against Brighton, who are terrible away from home right now.
Right.
On set pieces, West Ham have got to win games like this game against Brighton. And for me, Snodgrass will be part of it if they score goals.
Brilliant. That's actually quite a convincing argument. How much would it cost me to get him in?
So he'll cost you 5.2 million,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is a 1 week punt, really, given that they've got Man City and Liverpool the game
yeah,
after.
Yeah, their fixtures get horrible after
they
this.
They do. But he is only selected by 1.1% of the game, so he is in a really nice differential.
Okay. All right, then. Jules, finish off essential differential with some wacky left field pick.
I've got a couple. John Fleck is the first one. I absolutely
okay.
love John Fleck. John
He's
Fleck,
been
if you're listening,
form.
I love you. Yeah. They have that game week 28 where they're going to blank and not play, which is a bit worrying. But again, you can easily put him on the bench if you've got a strong bench. And if you look at the games that Sheffield United have before that game week 28, it's Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Brighton, and after that they've got Norwich and Newcastle. So potentially games where Fleck could do really well. The other one is Gaeta, the Crystal Palace goalkeeper.
Okay.
I mean, you know that I'm not the biggest fan of Crystal Palace at all.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you look at the games, Sheffield United, Everton, Newcastle, Brighton, Watford, Bournemouth, and Palace are really good at one thing this season is defending. So Gaeta is 5.1 million, owned by only 2.4% of the managers. And
really?
He already brought in 86 points, which I think is the fifth or sixth best goalkeeper.
He's the seventh best.
Or seventh, yeah.
Yeah, but,
so
you
I
know.
Think with the games coming for Palace, and mm-hmm. again, how strongly they are defensively, I think it could be a good chance.
Very interesting, Jules. Well, after this, in our final section, we're going to look at the transfers you're actually going to do or have done, and also who gets to wear the armband. Right then, transfers and captains. Duncan, have you done anything yet?
I've made a transfer, yes.
What'd you do?
I brought in Dean Henderson.
Yeah,
for
right.
Matt Ryan, as
yeah.
we discussed.
Funny enough, I brought in Dean Henderson. This was prior to the game week 28 blank announcement.
He looked so nice just sitting there and then, yeah.
Well, just, you know, I've also got Ben Foster, and the pair of them, actually, you can flip-flop them. Their fixtures dovetail quite nicely, so I'm not that worried about game week 28 from Dean's point of view. Are you going to make any other transfers?
But
you're...
Duncan is, because if it's not Dean Henderson in goal, he's
well, he might be
Jeremy Button.
Yeah. So, and you're looking at bringing in Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, that's going to have to wait till next week, and I want to take an 8-point hit. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're just going to leave it at Dino Henderson.
Yeah, he'll do a job this week for me.
Super. Jules, what about you?
I think I'll bring in Aguero, like I said, and captain him as well for the game.
Against
it's a game that I'm working on as well. I'll be there for French television, so I can, you know, I can just tap him on the back before the game and say, come on, Sergio, vamos, 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 Sergio, vamos.
Right. Do you, how hard do you find it to keep a lid on your emotions when, say, working, when addressing the French nation from...
It's hard. This is new for me. You know, this is my first season. My first
When you've got your captain out there playing against
exactly.
Spurs.
And I really struggle. I feel so stressed. It's unbelievable. Even as stressed as when PSG are playing in the Champions League.
That stress.
Yes, that stress.
Okay. What about you, Sam?
Well, I'm pleased to hear that Jules is putting his captain's armband on Aguero this week, because that makes mine a differential against him. I'm going with Salah this week, home to Southampton, great form against them, off the back of a nice result again for him against West Ham. I think there's more opportunity there for him to bag a lot than there is for Jules's one. So I'll knock you down to second place this week on that one then.
Wow, 5 points between them.
Like it was points. Before, you know, before I just went so ahead that I let them come back behind me, you know, that's what we do.
Are you making a transfer this week?
I think I might roll it actually this week. I don't think my team looks that bad for
so
this
you
week.
So Dele Alli against Man City.
You know, when he scores a hat-trick and Aguero blanks, that'll be even kinder. I think I will keep Ali this week.
Please do.
Sorry about this, Duncan. Sorry. We're going to have to sit them separately in the next
Split
show.
Us up. Don't let us on the same
it's the
show
sort
next
of scenes
time.
You don't want to witness in the game.
So, transfer for you. Roll it over.
I'm going to roll, and then that'll give me a couple for the winter break week.
Nice. That is nice. So
you two are so far behind us that you can't really relate to what we say, maybe next season. Who knows?
We've got a pick for Salah with the armband, and Jules is going with Sergio Aguero, who he's going to say vamos to when
vamos.
They have their chat. Duncan, what's your plan, captain-wise?
I'm going with Trent again. He did well for me this week. And I think, as I said earlier, I think he is going to be the key to unlocking Southampton. So, I back him 400%.
All right. Best of luck. Best of luck with that. If you... would like to get a little bit more help with your preparation for Game Week 25, FPL content like the FPL Show and FPL FYI, head over to PremierLeague.com and they'll have you sorted. Brilliant. We'll be back next week then with all the reaction to Game Week 25 and the look forward to what they're calling Game Week 26. But for now, it's many, many thanks to Sam Bonfield.
Thanks, James.
Julian Laurence.
Thank you.
And Duncan Alexander.
Thank you.
Best of luck, manager for Game Week 25, and we'll speak to you soon.